Welcome to the Heavy Matters podcast. It's myself, Joey Anveni, but tonight we're joined by the Heavy Matters scribes, Tony Bliss and Chris Fletcherson. Lads, how the bloody hell are you both?
Doing good, mate. Yes. Glad to be back.
Nice to see you. Fletch?
Yeah, same here. I'm all good.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. So tonight's show, we have been to see two separate live gigs, one Trivium, one Obituary. Tony and Fletch went to see Trivium separately, so we'll talk on that. And also we're going to discuss albums from Dying Fetus, which the name never fails to make me laugh, and Psilosis. So we're going to get stuck straight into it. Sorry, Venny, how are you?
Oh, ignore me. Just the fly on the wall here.
I'm sorry, fine, mate.
I'm fine. You don't even need to ask. I'm fine.
All right, good. Glad to hear it. Okay, so Tony and Fletch, you boys went to see Trivium on their very intimate gigs. Tony, where did you go see them?
I was in Norwich at the UEA, my usual gig venue out here in the sticks of Norfolk. So, Trivium, I think they've played there a few times at the UEA. They've not been back for years, though. So, yeah, it was a pleasant surprise to see them pop up in Norwich again.
And Fletch, where did you see them?
I saw them here in Liverpool.
In Liverpool. Two different venues. Right, okay, so let's... I mean, they've done like a weird... Well, not weird, but a very different set list compared to what the tour they did in... Was it January this year? It was, wasn't it? With Malevolence and Support? Yeah. So, big different set list, and they pretty much said this is the last tour for a fairly long time. So, Fletch, kick us off. Let's talk about the excitement levels of seeing Trivium in a small venue.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time I've saw them since 2006. So it's been a long time. And they actually said on the night as well that it's actually the first gig in Liverpool since 2006. So I guess that explains why I've not saw them since. I think the last time I saw them was the Crusade tour. So
wow,
they've had a lot of up and down since then. And so yeah, as an aside, the 2006 gig, I missed the support band because I'd never heard of them at the time, and it turns out it was Gojira touring Mars to Sirius. Oh. So,
oh man, yeah. What a kicker!
I know.
I saw that tour too, and Gojira were definitely the highlight of that night.
Oh, I can imagine. You don't need to rub it in. It's fine. So supports on this tour, so we've got Orbit Culture, who I didn't see, so I have to ask Tony for how they got on, but I was there for Bleed From Within.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, on fine form as ever. I think it's the third time I've saw them. Once was in a small venue supporting the Cancer Bats, and the last time I saw them was with all you guys at Download last year. Thank in that God. Tent. So, yeah, they're just such a reliable live band, aren't they? Bleed From Within, they, you know, got everyone going, got everyone moving. It was really good warm up, and then Trivium came on, and I wasn't, as I said, there was a lot of talk, wasn't there, about the set list, about what we were going to see, and it started off great. They opened with them in the Court of the Dragon from the latest record, and it was great. They even played, I think we got two songs from the Crusade, which was the surprise of the evening for me, how much I enjoyed them songs. I think obviously the album got a bit panned, didn't it, when it came out, but live they were just, you know, fun bouncy riffs. So they were good. There was a bit of a lull in the middle of the set for me when they had the big block of Shogun songs. I mean, I like Shogun, it's a great album, but it just seemed like I wanted a bit more variety in it, to be honest, at that point. But then it did pick up again, and they played some classics and then finished with In Waves.
Oh.
Which always goes down a treat.
What a tune. So it sounds like you're lukewarm on the gig itself, fair to say?
No, it was really good. I mean, I really enjoyed it. They were really great live. I guess it's just I'm not a massive Trivium fan anyway.
Right.
I mean, there are some albums I do really, really like. unfortunately, the ones I seem to like the most are the most recent ones that they didn't really play much from. But overall, you know, it was a really good gig, and they were on really great form.
Super. All right then, Tony. First of all, are you a big Trivium fan?
I am a big Trivium fan. Okay. Yeah. I know their kind of career is seen as pretty up and down records wise. But I like pretty much everything they've ever done. I know like Vengeance Falls was a little bit too much David Dreamin' influence in there. And Silence in the Snow, I think, got panned a little bit for too much sort of classic metal, but I think they pulled it off really well. So yeah, I think I like all their records. The Crusade, again, I went back to the Crusade before the gig because I've not listened to it in God knows how many years. And I was surprised, again, how much I enjoyed it. And just to reinforce what Flex said, actually, when they went into Entrance of the Conflagration, that was the best song of the night. Sound-wise, and that really surprised me. Big Trivium fan, and like pretty much everything they've done. So,
did it live up to expectations?
It did for me. I did see a bit of Orbit Culture when I came in. They were decent. The songs for me kind of ran into each other a bit, got a bit samey towards the end, but yeah, they played well and they got a great crowd reaction. So good for them. They seem to be on the up at the minute. Bleed From Within were brilliant. We knew they were going to be brilliant. The sound was a bit off when they came on. It was really quiet. I could hear kind of people talking around me louder than the music, which isn't a good sign.
No,
that soon sorted itself out. And yeah, they were kind of trying to... Because they played Cambridge the night before, they were trying to stir up a little bit of a local rivalry between Cambridge and Norwich, which was fun. I didn't really know there was a big rivalry between Cambridge and Norwich, to be honest. But,
they should have said it was Ipswich, shouldn't they?
Exactly, yeah. But the Norwich crowd definitely gave Cambridge a bit of a kick in. So, yeah, there must be something going on there.
And Tony, you were big into that, the last album they did. Did mm-hmm. they play a decent slab off that, or was it a mixture over the eras of Bleed From Within?
Yeah, it was mostly the new album from what I remember. I think the whole set list was solely from the last two albums.
Okay,
nice. Which does make sense, I think.
It does. I mean, I do like Era and some of the earlier albums, but it does make sense, I think, like you say.
Yeah, and they were brilliant. I mean, they were down a bassist when I'm not sure if it's the same with you, Fletch. They didn't have a bassist when they were playing.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a theme of the night as well, because Paolo from Trivium, he was playing with like he had like a special bass stand, so the bass was sort of kind of held up for him. I think Matt said he just had hernia surgery.
Yeah.
Josh from Malevolence filled in on bass for a few of their shows in Germany, I think.
Germany, that's right.
Yeah. So he flew over and like instantly had to have a hernia operation, was out for 2 weeks. So Josh filled in, and yeah, I heard it's a fair play to him getting back up so quickly and playing gigs.
Exactly. Yeah, shout out to him. I can't imagine going on stage like a week after having stomach surgery. He didn't put a foot wrong. So and Trivium, I know I joined in with a bit of a moan sort of beforehand on the WhatsApp group about the set list. I've not seen a lot of Dead Men, and I've not seen anything from Dead Men, Sin in a Sentence, and Court of the Dragon before. And I would have liked a bit more, but I love Shogun so much that I soon forgot about that when they started playing. So, and I think we looked at the set list afterward. Well, I looked at the set list and it was exactly the same as the Liverpool date. So they were swapping and changing songs throughout. But I think me and Fletch just copped the same set list. So I thought they were great. They were scarily proficient, like super tight. And they went down a storm with the fans. I enjoyed the deep cuts from Shogun. I think we got the Calamity, he said it was the first time they'd played it, but I don't know if he meant just in the UK, because I think they've played it in Europe a few weeks ago as well. So Yeah, that was really cool to see. And yeah, I'd say finishing within waves, you can't go wrong. That song, I think that song is kind of destined to either be an opener or a closer.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd want it anywhere else in the set list. But yeah, they were great. They're off for a big long break. So who knows when we'll see him again. He did mention Ascendancy 25-year anniversary coming up, so we'll expect them to do something for that.
That's mental on its own. That album's 25 years next year. That's insane to think that. Like, they were teenagers when they wrote that.
I remember so vividly that album coming out. And
yeah, me too.
How excited I was for it to come out. So yeah, definitely.
I think you're making yourselves seem older there. I think it's 20 years in 2025. So I don't think it's quite...
Oh, is it?
All right.
You've taken years off us there, Flex. Yeah. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
That makes more sense.
I wanted to ask about that as well, obviously, because they hinted, like, obviously, they'd be coming back for an Ascendancy anniversary tour. Would you like to see the same sort of thing where they've done an Ascendancy set in the middle, or would you like more of a spread when they come back?
Yeah, I think I mentioned before that I'd rather they did the same again with a little chunk in the middle of Ascendancy stuff. They've got too many songs, I think, that I want to see from spread out from different albums. That I'd be a bit disappointed. And Ascendancy now, it seems mad, but I think it's like probably my fifth favorite Trivium album now.
Wow.
Which is pretty mad to think about. But they've got so many albums under their belt now that. Yeah, there's too much stuff I'd want to see from other places, really.
Yeah, that sounded mad when you said it, but then I thought to myself, well, I'd have Shogun and the latest three above it, so...
Yeah. Right. And I've got In Waves above it as well. I think In Waves is...
It's a great album.
Yeah, it's such a good record. That's not to say that Ascendancy is not a classic for me, but they've just got a lot of good records now, haven't they?
I think they'll just do the album in full, won't they? 20 years, it's the logical sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be the fly in the ointment here, but I just think it seems an odd creative decision to do this when they are coming off the back of three really good records that they've not thoroughly toured. It'd be fine if they were on a waning streak to go back to these classic albums, but it just seems like they don't need to do that. It seems odd to me. I mean, I think it's a balance. Like, to do a chunk of tracks in the middle, that does seem fair enough. But yeah, I agree. And one of the big things that put me off going was what the guy said. And I really would want to be seeing tracks off the latest three albums. So yeah, it just seems if they were on the downslope, that would kind of make sense. But they're not at all. So... I don't know what you guys think about that statement.
No, I mean, I agree. I think it was an anniversary of Shogun, wasn't it? I'm not sure if it was 15 years for that one itself, but, you know, just wait till the 20th and play your new records.
Everything can be an anniversary. Could be your, like, 7.5-year anniversary, can't it? But, I do think, personally, there's a little bit too much of this going on for me, and... There's very few albums that I would ever want to see in full played live these days. I'm not a big fan of that. For me, especially Trivium on such a hot streak that they are, that would be my preference. But I totally get it for huge fans of those seminal records. I do get it, but not for me.
So Goodnight Had By All then?
Yeah.
Tony and Fletch.
Oh yeah, it was good. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, lovely time.
Lovely. And then I'll just quickly jump in with I went to see Obituary last night in Dublin, supported by Pest Control. So Academy venue, it was about 28 degrees here yesterday in Dublin. The venue had no air conditioning or through draft at all. And Pest Control came on first, the Leeds Thrashers, and pretty much the first song, Mosh Pit opened, and from that moment on, it was just that classic club show of sweat dripping off the ceiling, big sweaty bruises in the mosh pit, brushing off me with their sweat, and that sort of put a damper on the start of my night.
Quite literally.
Yeah. Pest Control were great, perfect opening band for Obituary. Their album came out this year. If you haven't checked it out, Fletch, I think you would really enjoy it. Really, really good. They had about maybe 20 minutes, half an hour as an opener, so good. And then Obituary came on, and throughout the whole set, all I was thinking was, God, Fletch would love every single second of this. They were fucking amazing. Like, the sound was fat, spelled with PH. It was so loud. Like, you know when you have the feeling of it traveling through you and taking out your bowels as it travels? It was that loud. Like, every guitar note was just crystal. And I just want to shout out for the drummer, who I can't remember his name, but he was on absolute fire, loving every minute of it. And for these boys who have been going for, what, 30, 40 years now? God knows how long. It was like they were a band touring for the first time. They loved every single second of it and lapped up every single ounce of energy the crowd gave them. Just a quick one. They started with Redneck Stomp, which is... Yes, doggies. That's right. Redneck Stomp is an absolute chunk of the song to open with. They played some stuff off the new album. They finished with Slowly Rot. And it was just no let up. Bang, 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 bang. For these guys to be going so long, to have the energy they did would put other bands to shame. Obituary, fucking incredible. If you get to see them, go see them. I was so happy I went to see him, even in the sweltering mosh pit of big, bold men. Sorry, Benny.
I'm glad to hear that, because I'm going to see them Thursday.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, mate. I didn't realise you were going to spoil the set list. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I couldn't help it. I had to look myself anyway. But, so we've got them with Pest Control, and we've got a local band, Crepitation, opening as well. Yeah, it's a three band bill. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've never saw them before, so I can't wait.
Mate, I think I may have seen them at like Hellfest or something one year. But
did you see them on Slayer's final run when they were? I'm sure they were on the bill of Slayer's final arenas dates. That's the last time I saw them, but I'm sure they felt right at home in the humid, swampy atmosphere of
the, like the Floridian swamps with the gators around them. Yeah, it was so good. I'm so happy I went in the end, because I was, like I said, it was so hot, I was a bit tired. I'm in an iron, but yeah, just incredible. Fletch, you're going to have the best time. You really are.
I can't wait.
They played Norwich and I couldn't make it. And Celestial Sanctuary were supporting as well.
Oh.
Yeah, and I missed it. And I would really love to have seen that. But hey ho.
Hey ho. C'est la vie. So yeah, Obituary, fucking wicked. Right, let's move on to these album reviews, shall we? And basically, for the next sort of 20 minutes while I review these albums, I'm going to be the MC/compare, because this is very much in Fletch, Rennie and Tony's wheelhouse. But we're going to start with Dying Fetus. The album is called Make Them Beg for Death. Of course it is. What a great album title. And the album cover to boot is just as bloody good. The boys, the threesome, it's out on the 8th of September, so this Friday. It's their 9th album, which seems to me quite short, but it seems like they've been going for years. So 9 albums seems not a lot, but that's just me. I'm going to quickly jump in with my 2 cents here, lads, and then I'm going to let you guys battle away. I'm not the biggest death metal fan, but Dying Fetus for me are a perfect death metal band for me to throw on. I would put them on over Cannibal Corpse any day of the week, because they have plenty of groove with them. They have plenty of hooky parts as well. Plenty of chunky riffs. The dual singing really works for me and really appeals. And I mean, the drumming alone, just absolute powerhouse. And when you hear the production on this album as well, and most of their albums, it is pristine. I really like this album, and I will leave it over to you guys now. Benny, I'll let you kick off with your thoughts on the Dying Fetus new album.
Thank you, mate. So I got really into Dying Fetus around the time of Reign Supreme, which was just over 10 years ago now. I absolutely loved that album. I quite enjoyed Wrong One to Fuck With that came after that. And it has been, like you say, quite sparse in terms of releases over the last 10 years for them. So I was quite interested to see what they came up with. I like you, certainly not like the other boys, a huge connoisseur of the genre. But for me, Dying Fetus do stick out as one of the high watermarks of the scene. They're clearly very technical. They have that brutality. But what shines through all of that is quite a high consistency of songwriting. And also the instrumentation is all very clear. And certainly that's something I'd say about this latest album. The production job means that technicality shines through, that every kick drum is very defined. The riffs are essentially what carries a lot of the melody, and the vocals, both vocalists carry quite a harsh style. So a lot of the things that you can cling on to are often the guitar melodies, and I think that's something that shines through. I particularly like the middle of the album, from track 5, Unbridled Fury, and the track after that, When the Trend Ends. And again, like you said, Joey, I think those tracks in particular really bring a lot of the groove that you describe, and they have nice little solos, in particular in track 6. I love how the riff kind of cycles back towards the end. But yeah, my summary is that I think they're just extremely consistent in terms of their songwriting, their quality, and they're, despite being an extremely challenging form of music, there is something somewhat accessible about them.
Well, very well summed up. Tony?
I'm a big fan of Dying Fetus. I pretty much echo what you guys have said about their consistency. And they're one of those bands, like a lot of death metal bands nowadays, who the kind of recent stuff has at least sort of matched a lot of their early stuff in terms of quality for me. Like Cannibal Corpse that we've mentioned. I mean, they're just on such a tear at the moment. And I know a lot of times when bands like this sort of release an album, people kind of, you kind of get a review and it's, what can I say? It's another great Cannibal Corpse album or great Dying Fetus album, which I kind of don't like saying, because why is it so great? There's got to be something to say about it. But having said that, I am struggling in that this, to me, is just another brilliant Dying Fetus album. And to me, this might be it might grow to be my favourite Dying Fetus album. I just think everything is perfectly placed on this album, every riff, every tempo shift. The song that Benny mentioned, Unbridled Fury, I mean, there's a bit right at the end where it goes from this like mad sort of sweep, technical guitar shred kind of bit into this sort of like massive slam groove, where it's the sort of thing where you kind of giggle to yourself the first time you hear it, because you just think, how can they still be writing music like this hard? There's something about this record. The first time I heard it, it kind of blew my hair back a bit. And I've listened to it God knows how many times now, and it's not sort of dulled in impact at all. As you say, the production is spot on, and I don't think there's a dud track kind of on it. It's really, this has really been one of my highlights of the year so far.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Tony. Like, some albums, you're like, I can't explain why it's, like, it's just Dying Fetus seem to have now, like Cannibal Corpse, this template, and they're not doing anything, you know, they're not going out of and putting in techno dance music, do you know what I mean? Like, anything out of the ordinary. They're just doing what they're doing and doing it, again, to a very high standard and not disappointing.
Yeah, it's just dynamically, everything just, for me, just hits so hard and it's just so flawlessly put together for me. I just and I think maybe as we've you've alluded to, like the sort of gaps between records. I think that helps because I was really ready for another diet. The last one, Wrong One to Fuck With, I thought was good, but this is kind of just casually decimated it for me. It's as you can tell, I really like this album.
Well, let's ask Mr. Death Metal himself, Fletch, who is the resident death metal man, and let's see what he has to say on this record.
Well, what can I say, Tony? It's another great Dying Fetus record.
Yeah, review.
Done.
Now, I mean, it's hard going last because the lads have covered a lot of everything that we have to say on it. But talking about how hard they go, like, does anybody go harder than Dying Fetus when it comes to album titles and track names as well? As soon as you read that album title, you know, oh, this is going to be a heavy one. Like you said, it's just all groove and power. And I think you say they're a consistent band in terms of records, but there's such a consistent band throughout the album as well, because it's a rare album for me, and there's just no like lulls on the album in terms of like how brutal it is, but also the quality. I think it just keeps it up from start to end. And just to go back to what Tony said, and he said this could be one of his favorite Dying Fetus albums. I think this is, I'd already have this at number two in their discography for me already. And
out of interest, what's number one?
Number one would be Reign Supreme.
Okay, yeah, but that's fair.
But this is obviously, it's only early days for this one, so who knows?
I'm interested as well, Fletch, to know, I don't want any massive spoilers for your end of year, but in terms of the death metal genre, is this ranking or riding really high on your list this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've got quite a few death metal albums on the shortlist so far, but I will go and say that this is highest of all the death metal on my list so far this year. Obviously, Cannibal Corpse is out later this month, so they'll have to go toe-to-toe there, but so far, yeah, this is the best one for me. It's just to go back to as well to another, I know we've spoke about them already, but a comparison with the Obituary album earlier this year with what Venny was saying as well with the production, because it's like they're not losing anything in it, but they're just sort of using the modern production sort of to their, you know, to the strengths and showcasing what they're good at, which is what I said about that album, and I think these guys have done it exceptionally well as well.
Benny, would this ride high in your, I'd say this is probably, if I was to hazard a guess, your favourite death metal album of the year?
Yeah, I mean, as we've said, I'm not, death metal feature less on my albums year list, but yeah, this would be high. I am interested, like the boys have said, to see what Cannibal Corpse come up with, and they will go toe-to-toe. Like Fletch says. So yeah, I think that'd be really interesting. For me, yeah, this probably sits about third in Dying Fetus' discography. But yeah,
to share.
Reign Supreme, and then probably Descended to Depravity after that, and then this, and then probably Wrong One to Fuck With. But I am not a connoisseur, so I will definitely see the people who know more about it than me. But yeah, I get the other thing that maybe not mentioned, 38 minutes long. Joey, for you, that's got to be about right for this kind of quite technical, quite dense music. Quite a lot to digest through the old lug holes. So, yeah, 38 minutes has got to be about right.
Oh, absolutely. I think, yeah, definitely. Like, I think any album of this complexity and heaviness, be it any band, I think probably Present Company of Fletch accepted, like, would be very hard to digest for any band, like 50 minutes of death metal. So for these guys, but look, I absolutely loved listening to this album, and at not one point did I think this is going on for too long or I'm bored. I bloody loved every minute of it, which is, so now I love Reign Supreme as well. I thought Wrong One to Fuck With is okay, but I think this is just absolutely brilliant for a death metal album, and that's my two cents. I'll say it as it is now. I'm giving this an 8.3, lads, from my end. I'd say that's only there'll be some higher ratings than that, but that's only because this isn't my wheelhouse. So I think we'll do it in reverse order of Venny, Tony, and then Fletch, if you want to bat away.
Well, I'm going to give a lower score than that. Mine is 7.4, so yeah.
What?
Holy scorers.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Tony is speechless.
It's I'll just another kid dying Peter's record. What can I say?
I'll bring the average up with a 9.
Yeah, good man. Now Fletch is going to probably smash it through the stratosphere. Go on, Fletch.
No, I'm with Tony on this one. It was a 9 from me as well. Nice round 9.
Nice. That's very high praise indeed coming from Fletch. Good man. Benny, I don't know. I'm speechless.
I wish you were.
I wish you were. Good. Okay, so Dying Fetus out on the 8th of September. And then to our final album review of the show is Psilosis, the album's The Sign of Things to Come, and is also out on the 8th of September. So Josh, I just call him Josh Psilosis. Oh, no, that's fair, isn't it? I think that's his name.
I George think Solosis. Know who you're talking about.
So after his amicable split from, I don't know if he was a full-time member or sort of like standing.
He was, draft. Yeah.
He was a full-time member of Architects. Okay. Yeah. Standing in for a while, he left Architects to come on to the heavier side of life, seeing as Architects went a little bit in a different direction. And I mean, he has obviously got a lot of pent up aggression to release an album such as this. So Tony, I can see you nodding. So we'll start with you, mate. You smiling like a Cheshire cat, look at him.
You kind of summed up there, he's got a lot of aggression to let out. You kind of summed up my initial thoughts of this album in that, this is probably the most aggressive Psilosis album. When Deadwood comes out of the traps, it's like Jesus Christ, this is an angry man. It's definitely I don't know if anyone else picked up, it kind of feels at points kind of almost like it's got a bit of hardcore kind of influence in it in some points. I don't know if it's because we've got sort of a revamped lineup going on. This is like their first sort of, I think it's their sort of proper, first sort of proper where they've all written as a group. There's definitely a lot of different flavours going on in this one to the Psilosis of old. Definitely my initial thought was, wow, this is an angry record.
And Tony, am I right in saying you're a big Psilosis fan and have sort of followed them throughout their career?
As you say, I've been following them, I think, since the very first EP came out. I can't remember what year that was, but it was a long time ago, yeah. And, they've definitely been on a trajectory. They've been sort of in and out of the scene quite a lot. But, again, there's not a record I don't like from Psilosis. They're not consistent kind of in their sort of how present they are in the metal world. But definitely musically for me, they've been pretty consistent. And I don't think there's a dud record in there, really.
Do you, Benny, I'll come to you quickly. Could this album be the springboard for Psilosis to get back to those heights or potentially higher?
Yeah, and I was going to pick Tony up on that point. I mean, it is interesting, and you're right to say they've kind of drifted in and out a little bit. And I do wonder now if they are as a bigger band than they've ever been, and whether there's an element of kind of absence makes the heart grow fonder, and people have naturally gravitated to their back catalogue over the years, and now they have got a bit more of a burgeoning fan base, maybe a bit of extra exposure through Josh being an Architect and whatnot. And I don't know what firstly you think about that, Tony, and whether, well, I for one agree with what you've said, Joe. I do think now they will be a much more permanent concern. And I think Josh has kind of stapled his colours to the mast by saying, well, I'm going to give up Architects, and I imagine he will. I think one of the limiting factors will be the other members like Ali from Bleed From Within and Connor from Conjurer, and how much they are able to commit to making this a full-time concern. But yeah, I don't know what you think about that, Tony, how they have been in and out over the years, how that has affected their fan base and how they stand now.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right now that Josh has definitely sort of confirmed that this is his full-time sort of concern. And I think off the back of that and off the back of this record, they're definitely going to be growing in popularity a lot more. Being signed to Nuclear Blast will help with that definitely as well. I think I kind of agree with you in a way, because even with sort of Josh being in Architects and sort of the Silosis going away for a bit, you still see Silosis being talked about quite a lot, especially if you look in any sort of comments on an Architects post or something. You see a lot of people where a Silosis coming back. So I'm sure that might have wound him up quite a bit. Broadly, I pretty much agree with all your points there, really.
Just before we move, like, I think I'm a bit biased in that I initially was very sceptical about Silosis. I wasn't really on board during the first few albums. And it's only really latterly that I have got into them, have gone back and really appreciated those albums. So I kind of assume there are more people like me, but maybe that's not the case. But I do think they have built a reputation over the years, and I obviously, like you say, being signed to Nuclear Blast, I do think they are in quite a strong position. They've positioned themselves quite strongly now.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. And as I say, I think musically as well, definitely off the back of this album, they're definitely pushing for a bigger audience. Not that they've lost any sort of edge or any sort of credibility in the metal world at all, because this is definitely, as I've already said, this is an aggressive metal record. I totally agree that the position they're in now, they're pretty much primed to really give this a go. But I do agree with your point about Ali and Connor, whether they can really get behind this in the same way Josh and the rest of the band maybe are, being in two other pretty big and up-and-coming metal bands. Is that going to be tough to really get behind Silosis in the way that they need? But I'm trying to think if it's been done before, but I can't think of any examples, to be honest. That remains to be seen. But they're definitely probably in the strongest position they've ever been to really push on, I think.
But let's bring Fletch in. He's been sat there patiently listening to the lads. Fletch, first of all, are you a Silosis fan? Have you been following much? And secondly, what was your initial reaction on the first listen to the new album?
I'm more in Venny's school on this one, isn't in the fact that I got into them a bit later and then I went back. So I think it was either the last album or the album before when I first heard them, and then I got back into the back catalogue. So I haven't been following them since the early days, like Tony. But I am a fan. Like, they're not one of my favourite bands, but I do agree that they're a really consistent band, and I do like everything I've heard by them. I just want to ask as well, is it just me, or is there more clean vocals on this album than previously?
Yeah. And some of them do kind of veer dangerously close to a bit. I'm trying to think of the right word here. They kind of go a little bit too clean for me, if that makes any sense. But not enough to put me off at all. I think Josh, I do think his vocals have improved as well. I think he's on this record, his voice is a real standout.
Yeah, I think obviously the different, like the more clean vocals, etc., was one of the things that first jumped out at me when I first listened to it. And I was really looking forward to this album when it got announced. As I said, after diving back in and enjoying the last album, I was really looking forward to it. And on first listen, I was a bit, I don't know, it left me a bit cold, this one, on the first listen. I was a bit like, there's nothing particularly wrong with it. There's nothing I could say, oh, I don't like that really. But it just left me a little bit cold. But with more and more listens, I've really warmed up to it, and I really like it now. But it was just unlike the last album, which just hit me immediately. This one took a few, you know, took a few listens to get around to it.
It's a grower for sure.
Yeah.
Benny, your thoughts on the initial listens?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it did take a few listens. I do think it's a bit less immediate than Cycle of Suffering was. A couple of things to cycle back on. The vocals is interesting. Obviously, before they had a full-time vocalist, Jamie Graham, who we've just spoken to Khan from Heart of a Coward, who's then in Heart of a Coward, and he is a very revered vocalist in the scene. And certainly those albums it did with Silosis towards the start, a lot of people still harken back to that sound. Then obviously, a bit like the rest of the band, Josh has progressively just taken on role after role and has taken the vocal side to it. I think it's not necessarily something he was super confident doing at first, but he's definitely grown into that role. On the last album, there was this track called Abandon, which was the final track that I absolutely loved, which was a bit more proggy and quiet and melodic, had a bit more of the clean vocals on. And I think he's growing in confidence with that, and you're seeing a little bit more on this album. In particular, I really like the track Absent, which is halfway through, where he's definitely showing that kind of more vulnerable side, for want of a better word. But yeah, I mean, the other kind of instant impressions, coming back to your point, I do agree. I can't remember who said it, whether it was Tony or Fletch, but I do feel that from being in Architects, from potentially having Ali from Bleed From Within, there is much more of a contemporary sound to it, and be that hardcore or just metalcore, I do feel they are leaning a bit more into that. I think the famous thing that Silosis were often touted as doing was marrying an older classic metal sound to more contemporary styles. And I do think on this album, and the last album to a degree, is that they are just becoming a bit more of a contemporary band. And I do wonder how that will influence their perception. I think they have retained certain facets. I mean, they still have solos and whatnot, and still have those things that will favour those people who prefer the classic sound. But yeah, I do think there is a contemporary feel to it, and I do think the influences from his other projects and the other people in the band have made a difference to that.
Would I be right in saying it, and this is a question to the group, that Silosis will pretty much pick up where they left off in terms of fan base? Or do you think it'll be bigger because of the gap in between albums?
I think that's kind of what we were talking a little bit about earlier, and how the stop-start nature of it will have affected them. But personally, I think there will be people like me and Fletch who weren't necessarily in from year zero, but have discovered them and kind of retrofitted our taste towards them. So I personally think they're going to be in a good place, a quite strong place. And I think from being an Architects, but also having Connor from Conjurer, having Ali from Bleed Within, that naturally will feed in fans from those bands as well, I think. So I personally see them being quite a strong place, but I maybe have got a slightly biased view that I think more people would be like me and Fletcher in that.
Tony?
I suppose as well, they're going to be they're going to be a lot more prevalent on the live circuit as well, because we're going to be seeing them in a lot more tours and festivals and things. So yeah, I think that's really going to help them as well. So yeah, I really can't see anything but their fan base getting a lot bigger off the back of this album. And as I said, and as I think Benny said, I think the modern kind of sound that they've sort of pushed a bit further on this record will help that as well. As I say, I heard a lot of kind of, I say hardcore, it's more of like, there's a lot of bigger sort of grooves and stuff going on in this record, I think, than what we've heard previously. Not that we've not been there, but there's a lot more of that going on, and there's even like shades kind of Parkway Drive, sort of latter day sort of Parkway Drive going on occasion. So yeah, I think that's only going to help, especially again in the live circuit. There's going to be a lot more sing-alongs and stuff to draw in the crowd. So yeah, I think this is going to put them in good stead.
All right, I think we've beaten around the bush enough now to finally give a real honest answer. So let's start with Fletch being the newest addition, the newcomer to Listening to Solos. What do you think? Give us a rating, Fletch.
With this one, I'm going to go 7.3.
Okay.
Which is a lot higher than it was on first listen. But like I said, it's a grower. It is a really good album. So it may continue to grow even more. But that's where I'm landing right now.
Okay. Venny?
I'm in a really sweet spot with Silosis, and I'm kind of really digging them at the moment. So I think I'm maybe slightly overscoring this, but I really like it. I've listened to it a load, and I do think it does grow on you the more you listen to it. So I've gone a flat 8 for this.
0.7 higher than the 0.6 higher than the Diamond Peters album. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Read into it what you will. Tony?
Yeah, I'm going to go with an 8.5. Yeah, I really like... I don't think I've really been clear enough, actually, here, that I really do like this record.
That's what I mean. There's a lot of people on the push.
Yeah, I think I've focused a bit on the negatives. Yeah, but I really like this record. As I say, for me, I thought it was a really sort of aggressive, hard-hitting sort of metal album when I first heard it. That's something that really suits him. Josh's voice, not just his clean vocals, I think his harsh vocals have really come on this record. There were even bits of it, I might be alone here, that even reminded me of like Iowa era Corey Taylor, sort of when he's really giving it some. That might have been just me, but yeah, I really like this record, and yeah, I think it's good. 8.5.
Very good. And the album title as well, A Sign of Things to Come. Bit of a hint of just dipping a toe in the pond, so to speak. So, excellent stuff, lads. Silosis, A Sign of Things to Come. And that brings us to the end of our show. Massive thanks to Fletch and Tony. It's been too long since we had you on the show. We must do it again soon. Thank you for your continued hard work in all the reviews you're doing for the website. It massively appreciated. And I think there'll be something coming in the post to you two very soon, once Vanny pulls his finger out. I'm not putting you under any pressure, mate. And Vanny, as always, it's lovely to see you. And until next time, thank you very much. Ta-ra, guys.